Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Tonight, I'm going to preach the first half of a two-part sermon. Now, I don't do that often, but the fact is that I really want you to come back again. Okay, I do want that, but the real fact is that our Old Testament lesson for tonight continues next week. And so tonight, I want to preach to you how you are called as a Christian to live well. Next week, I will preach to you about how a Christian dies well. The two are connected. But for tonight, I want to talk about what it is to be content. Content with the life that God has given us. Content with the things that God has given us. The people that He has placed into our lives. In the Ten Commandments, we have three commandments that deal with other people's things. The seventh commandment tells us that we should not steal. The ninth and tenth commandments go together, saying that we are not to covet our neighbor's stuff. Why are we not to covet our neighbor's stuff? Because we are to be content with what God has given us. If God has given you a God-fearing spouse, you are content not to seek after someone else. If God has given you a place to call your own that you can rest your head, a bed or a cot or a place to lay your body down, then we are to be content. If God has given you the ability to find yourself in church tonight, if He has given you the modes of transportation to get here, we are to be happy with what God has given us. If we spent more time in contentedness, think about how much more joy we would have. God has given you every single thing that you need to support this body and life. He has made you body and soul and gives you everything. We talked about the Ten Commandments, but consider the Creed. Luther oftentimes will bring in three things over and over and over again. The Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, and the Lord's Prayer. And all three actually deal with how God provides for us. Consider Luther's explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. He writes, "What does this mean? That is, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. What does this mean? I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that He has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. God has knit you together in your mother's womb. He has provided you, in many cases, with children to care and nurture for, grandchildren to extend that care and nurture. And He still takes care of it. It's not that He has just set you in motion and says, do whatever. It's that He is still active in your lives. He continues, He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. Every single day, God gives you everything that you need, that your body and your life may continue. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. The devil is prowling around you, seeking whom he may devour. We turn to God. We pray every single day, but deliver us from evil. All this He does, not because we've earned it, not because we're better than anybody else, but He does it all, Luther says, only out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy. Without any merit or worthiness in me, for all this it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey Him. God has given you everything you need in this life, not because we earned it, but because as a father loves his children, He loves you too. He has given you everything that you need to support this body and life. God gives you daily bread. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray for this. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, God certainly gives you daily bread even without your prayer. Luther writes on this regarding the fourth petition, what does this mean? God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. God gives us daily bread. Do we remember to thank Him for it? Or do we wait until the government sets a day aside for Thanksgiving? Do we wait until Thanksgiving to give thanks to God for everything that we have, or are we thankful every single day? Do we return to Him often and give Him thanks? What is meant by daily bread? Daily bread includes everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, discipline, honor, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. Do we take time to remember that everything that we have comes from God? That it's not us who earned it, but that we are stewards of His gifts? Do we return our time and our talents? Do we give from our heart what God has given us? Do we return it to the Lord? Do we see our family in need? Are we there? Are we praying? Are we serving? Those are all questions that we need to ask. But when we fail to do them, we know that we still have a Savior. A Savior who washes us from our sins. The woman in our Old Testament lesson is a woman who is concerned about death. She comes out and she's willing to give the man water. She's willing to give Elijah that. But she is ready to die. For she says, I am now making this. I'm gathering sticks that we might have one last meal. And I and my son and my household will die. But God has sent Elijah to her, that she might be fed not just with a cake, but with the very word of God. For as the word of God is proclaimed, the flour and oil continue going until the drought ends. Elijah finds a home with her that he might proclaim God's word to this woman who is hurting, who feels like she has nowhere left to turn. In our gospel lesson, Jesus reminds us that we cannot serve two masters. Are we more concerned about our pocketbooks or our wallets or our purses than we are about the people that God has placed into our lives? Do we give of ourselves? Are we there for one another? Do we worry? And I don't just mean the common worry that happens even though we're trusting in God, but are we actually giving our entire life over to Him? Or are we so worried that our stomach is constantly turning because we can never get past the fact that we're not doing it ourselves? Do we try to control every single thing so much that we forget who is ultimately in control of our body and our soul, of our lives? Jesus reminds us that the birds of the heaven are not there to toil, and yet God provides them with food. They do not build giant barns to store their grains out of fear and concern. Rather, God feeds them. The lilies are more clothed in more glorious robes than even Solomon in his kingdom. Do we as adults take time to stop and smell the roses? Children do that. And what do we do when they do? If you're like me and you're trying to rush everywhere, you say, come on, we got to move it. Do we take time to look at God's creation? Do we see the joy that a child sees at that creation? Stop and take a look at the flowers. Stop and take time to look at God's creation. Spend some time out of doors, breathing in fresh air, considering all of God's creation. You are the jewel of it. For after mankind is created, God then proclaims that it is very good. And then he rests from all of his creation. It is very good that we have been made in his image, after his likeness. It is very good that he has called you to be his children, that he has brought you into his church through holy baptism, that he proclaims to you, dear son or daughter, your sins are forgiven, not because of you, but because of my son Jesus, his death on the cross. It is good that he gives us his son's body and blood for us to eat and to drink. What are we to eat? What are we to drink? The body and blood of Jesus. What are we to wear? The garment that is given to the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which shall have no end. A garment that has been given to you in your baptism, a white robe that now covers you of all of your sins. As a Christian, you are called to live, not for yourself, but for God, serving your neighbor. Who is my neighbor? The man asks. And so often we do too. Your neighbor, first and foremost, is the one within your household. Do we provide and care for them? Do we provide and care for our communities and then the world? If you're like me, you can oftentimes get so bogged down by what's going on in the world. And when that happens, we need to pause. We need to look at God's creation. We need to look at the people that he has placed into our care and give him thanks. We are called to walk in the Spirit. We are called to be Christians. So confess Christ in this life. Live well. And when you fail, return to him. Every single day, return to him. And when the day finally comes that God is going to call you out of this life, then die and die well. More on that next week. The church sings, what God ordains is always good. His will is just and holy. As he directs my life for me, I follow meek and lowly. My God indeed in every need knows well how he will shield me. To him then I will yield me. What God ordains is always good. This truth remains unshaken. Though sorrow, need, or death be mine, I shall not be forsaken. I fear no harm, for with his arm he shall embrace and shield me, so to my God I yield me. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.